Amen. Man, I'm done. You don't need me here to preach. You do know that, don't you? The presence and the power of God is already here in the midst of us. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So can we just bow our heads for a second? Just before God. Before our Lord and before our Savior. Oh, Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, we just come before you and we just love you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Father God, that you are in the midst of us, Lord God, tonight. You are here. You are here. You are the most important guest at this meeting. And, Lord, you know what you want to do here tonight, Lord. And I pray, Father God, first and foremost, that the voice, the folks here in this room tonight will be your voice. I pray, Father God, that you open the eyes of our understanding, the ears to hear what you want to say, Lord God. And, oh, Lord, we just say, have your way. Have your way. Lord, I pray for every person here that you will give them discernment and wisdom that they may hear the voice from glory, Lord God. That they will understand clearly what you want to say. And I ask this now in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. I didn't know where that was going to go there for a minute. You are going to be looking at me for the next 40 minutes just basking in the presence of Jesus. And I thought, well, I better speak something. But God is so good and I love being in his presence. I love being around his people. And I love talking about him. So my name is Tommy. I'm going to talk about me for a couple of minutes because I'd rather talk about him than me. I'm from Dublin. Me and my wife run a church called Firebrand Church. We believe where we are placed is at the gates of hell. Nadine will tell you that if you talk to Nadine about us as a church. But the Lord has set us there for a specific reason. We're called Firebrand. And Firebrand means that which has been plucked from the fire. Amen. And myself, I've had a colourful lifestyle before Jesus. Very colourful. I've done a lot of things that most people will not do in their lives. But God has been faithful and he is the one that has plucked me from the fire. So I'm here tonight to talk about his goodness. But not about me. Not about what we do, but what he wants to do. Amen. And I believe the Lord wants to do something amazing. I believe the Lord wants to do something new in our hearts. Are we on for this? Welcome to the journey. This is a new journey tonight. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you that he wants to know you. He wants to reveal himself to you tonight in a most powerful way. If you do know Jesus and you're a bit stale, and you're eating yesterday's bread, can I say that God wants to give you new manna tonight? Amen. Because as we come together as God's people, it says where we gather in his name, he is in the midst of us. So he is here. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. He is in the midst of us tonight. He is here. And he has something to say to his people. I don't know where this is going to go preaching-wise. We're just going to go along with the flow and see then what the Lord does with this. Amen. So we're talking, what I'm talking about tonight. Can you understand me? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's always a bonus. If I say George, I mean church. Yeah? So if you're hearing George a lot through the preach tonight, I'm talking about church. but amen. So when I was asked to speak here, the Lord dropped a word into my spirit straight away, and it's he named it Understanding the Holy Spirit. But I want to make sort of a disclaimer before I go into this, because a million preachers wouldn't make us understand the Holy Spirit. He is so diverse. But I just want to look at one aspect of him tonight and what he does and what he's going to do in this room. Amen. Are you excited about what the Lord does, is going to do? Amen. So 1 Thessalonians 1:4 says this. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with also power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. So when we get born again of God's Spirit, the Spirit that we receive is a spirit of power. Amen. So what is that power? What does that power look like? Well, it's dynamis power. It's dynamite power. It's amazing power. It's power that cannot be contained. And it's the only power that can change you and transform you and make you into what God wants you to be. That's the power of God. When he comes in, he takes something that is dead and makes it alive. He takes something that is broken and he heals it. He takes something that is lost and he finds it. That is the power. I was a drug addict when Jesus met me, and in a moment he changed me. I was in a pit when Jesus met me, and he took me out and he set my foot upon the rock. This is the power that we're talking about tonight. So when our gospel came to you, it came to you with power, not merely words. You can talk about the Lord till the cows come home, but if you haven't got the power, there's no change in your life. Multitudes of religions all over the world talk about God, but they don't have the power. Amen. Because the God that they're talking about can't change them, can't free them, can't deliver them, and definitely cannot forgive them. There's only one name under heaven by which man can be saved. Amen. And then it says it came with the Holy Spirit. And what is it when we become born again that the Holy Spirit does in our lives? He reveals Jesus. He reveals Jesus. He doesn't reveal our giftings, our callings, our life ahead. At that moment, he reveals Jesus. Jesus, just Jesus. And that's enough. I don't want anything else, just Jesus. If I have that revelation of just that cross for the rest of my life, that is enough. What he done for me and for you on that cross, that is enough. Just give me Jesus. I don't want anything else. I don't need anything else because he is sufficient in everything in my life. Amen. He's amazing. He's beautiful. And then it says he came with deep conviction. With deep conviction. And I was thinking about this conviction and what type of conviction this is. So if you were here and you have 40 years saved, did that conviction end there? Do you know what I'm saying? For a lot of us, the conviction ends when we got saved. But I still have that deep conviction today that Jesus is who he says he is. He can do what he says he can do. He is above all things, through all things, in all things. Is that your conviction? Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over my sickness. He's Lord over my property. He's Lord over my family. The conviction never goes. It's deep. deep conviction. I think somebody was talking about during the week about your testimony. I got saved 40 years ago. It was amazing. Had an amazing night. Me and the lads went to KFC, had something to eat, went home. My life's never been the same. But what is your testimony of that conviction today? What has Jesus done in your life 10 minutes ago in worship? Your testimony doesn't end in salvation. Our God is a miracle worker. It says He is mighty to save. He's a miracle working God. Truly, He's a miracle working God. It says His ways are above all our ways. He says He loves us more than we can imagine. That is a great mystery. But where is the conviction of God in your life? Is He still your Lord? Or just somebody I visit on a Sunday when I come to church? Is He my Jesus Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? 365 days a year. Is He my Jesus when the doctor tells me bad news? Is He still my Lord? Is that conviction still there that He can do above all that we can ask, think, or imagine? Is that is the conviction that God gives us when we receive the Holy Spirit? You know, I think in church, let me just do this for a minute. I think when we're doing church and we're doing all of this sort of thing, sometimes we're there, and it's like the picture I had when I was doing this, that we're like a magic wand. Yeah? Just a magic wand, and we're being healed, and nothing happens. Am I looking around? Well, it's going to happen now in a minute. Just keep looking. And then we're there, and we're trying to convince people of God's power. Oh, he'll come in a minute. He'll come in a few minutes. Just give him a few minutes. He must be busy. Probably outside having a coffee. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm a carrier of His glory and His presence. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. I'm an overcomer. Because of His Spirit in me, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. And I can do all things because His Spirit is in me. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. Thank you, Jesus. Deep conviction. Power. 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 Oh, power. 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 Whew. This is our Jesus. He comes with power. Power. Oh, do you need power tonight? Do you need power tonight? Whew. I love Jesus. I love talking about the power of God. It didn't just happen 25 years ago when I got saved. That was power. But the conviction of His power never left me. It never left me. If He can do what He did with me 25 years ago, He can do more than that. Even now. If that was His start, what is His finished? Amen. If that's where He took me from, He says He goes from glory to glory to glory. What is our finish? We have to start believing this stuff, folks. We need to start believing this stuff. That He is who He says He is. It wasn't a one-night stand 40 years ago. You met Him. The next day He left. And ask you to pull yourself along the road. He says, I'll never leave you.
I'd never forsake you when I met you. I took hold of you with my right hand, and I'm not letting you go. Power. Power, folks. That is power. Whew. You don't have to twist the hand of God. We are not those that stand there with the magic wand. We have a name that is above all names. And when we mention that name, I tell you, demons flee. Bodies are healed. Prisoners are set free. Whew. John 16, verse 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. It says he will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what yet is to come. Are you getting that? When it started, it just didn't finish. Does the yet to come in your life? Does the yet to come? I know you don't understand what I'm doing right now, says the Lord. But just trust me. Just trust me. In the midst of it all, just trust me. That's all I'm asking of you, just to trust me. I'll never leave you. I love you more than anything else in this world. I'm never going to forsake you. You know, I was thinking that girl, Enya, beautiful Irish name, I think, is it? Praise the Lord. The Irish are the anointed ones. The Irish are the special ones. We needed Jesus more. But you know, it's this journey that she's going on, that she's embracing. And I would say embrace it with all your heart. Be fearless in it. And embrace all that God wants to do in you on this new path of a journey. Because there's more to come. There's more to come. There's more to come. There's always more to come in the Lord. I'm 25 years saved. I haven't got enough. I haven't got enough. I feel empty. And I want more. I want more of him in my life. Because I know there is more. He says he'll see, when I seek him, I will find him. When I seek him with all my heart. So I want to seek him with all of my heart that I may have more of him. And it's available to each and every one of us. Is this my water? Thank you, Jesus. But the Lord just wants to do something very special in our hearts tonight. The Lord woke me the other night as I was thinking, when you're preaching, you're on preaching head. Yeah? So when we come over here and you ask the preacher, you can't really enjoy things around you because you're preaching. So you preach. That's me and anyway. We were talking to Rihanna about it earlier on, and that's what we do. We're constantly thinking of our preaching. But so the other night the Lord woke me up and he says, I want to do something with barren women in this church tonight. And people that are struggling to have a baby. And I don't know if there is, but he says, that's what I want to do, so there has to be. So if you are struggling to have a baby, know this, there's one on its way, yet to come. Amen. Amen. It says, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. You know, you'll never have a crisis of faith when you're walking with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? You will never have any doubt in your heart that Jesus is Lord when you're walking with the Holy Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, the flesh wants to tell you that he is not Lord, that I am Lord. But when you're walking in the Holy Spirit, he reveals Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus. It says he takes from me and he makes it known to you. He reveals
Jesus. He says he'll bring glory to me by taking from me and making it known to you. He reveals Jesus. He reveals Jesus. You know, but on that thing about the babies and the wombs and the, you know, the healing and all of that stuff, can I say the Holy Spirit loves to create? He loves to create. He really does. Am I trying to convince you here? Do you know this stuff? He loves to create. He loves to do something new. Did you know that? He loves bringing glory to Jesus. Like that, what we done a few minutes ago in worship should be just natural. Should be in the shops and not doing that type of stuff. Dancing undignified before God because of him. Oh, because of him. There's no shame when you're following Jesus. There's no shame in this gospel. You don't have a crisis of faith when the Holy Spirit is revealing Jesus to you. You don't backslide when the Holy Spirit is revealing Jesus. You can't. Where can I go? Where can I go? You've got the very words of eternal life. Where can I go? It says, now the earth was formless, empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. Out of darkness, into his wonderful light. It speaks a word that can change you in a second. Let there be light. Maybe you're here this tonight and you're depressed. You're living in darkness. Well, the Holy Spirit is saying to you tonight, let there be light. He's not walking it up. He's just speaking it over your life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Doesn't have to do an 8-week course on let there be light. He just says, let there be light, and there was light. See, he loves to create. He loves to heal. He loves to give back what the enemy has stolen off you. He loves to set free. He loves to give vision about your future. Holy Spirit loves to create. Healing shouldn't be, we shouldn't be trying to walk that out in our heads or our hearts. Healing should be natural to the Christian. Because the Holy Spirit, you only have 1.5 legs. He'll create the other half. Hey, this is the Holy Spirit. This is what's on offer here. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He creates something new out of something that's old. I'll give you a new womb for that one that's not walking. Well, you can't say that, Hammy. But that's what he wants to do. He is a creator, God. When he says something, he means it. So let us just look at this thing formless. And I was thinking about my own life. When Jesus met me, I had nothing to give. I had nothing to offer. I was a useless wreck. I had no beginning, and I definitely had no end. I had nothing. I was formless. I had nowhere to stand. I had no meaning. I
no hope, no life. I was dead. I was truly dead. And the Spirit of God came into that van. I was homeless. And he revealed Jesus. He revealed Jesus. I had a vision of Jesus on that beautiful cross, dying for my sins, for every bad thing that I have ever done, and I've done a lot of them. And I seen Jesus on that cross, and he should have been judging me. He should have been pointing the finger at me, because that is what I deserved. I was wicked. I was wicked. And he looked at me, and all I could see was love. All I could sense was mercy. Not even knowing what love and mercy was, I embraced it for the first time in my life. He says, we love because he first loved me. I didn't know what it was to love until I received his love. I didn't know what love was until I received his love. He showed me what love was on that cross. On that cross, he showed me what love was. I was empty. I was empty. I was suicidal. I didn't know whether I was coming or going in life. I had felt that I was dealt the wrong hand. Nothing in my life. Nothing to offer. I was in complete darkness. Depressed, suicidal. Not being able to get through a moment of day without some drug in my life. In complete darkness, wanting to end my life, hating who I was and who I was created to be. I hated myself in utter darkness. And the Holy Spirit says, let there be lights. And there was light. At that moment, he took me out of darkness. He shone his wonderful light into my life, and my life has never been the same again. Let there be light. And there was light. Can I ask you a question? Have you lost the awe of God? Truthfully. Have you lost the awe of God, the majesty, the mystery that is Jesus? Are you settling just for coming to church every now and again and doing the do? But there's no real purpose. There's no awe, there's no majesty. You get a little tickle from the worship leader, but that's where it begins and ends. Have you lost your awe of God, that deep conviction that we received when we got saved? Maybe things haven't gone right for you in your life and you blame God. You blame him. Now even as a Christian, for your miserable existence, because he says there's light and you're still in darkness. He says he's come to set captives free, but you're still bound. And you've given in to the lie that he's not who he says he is. That he does forsake me. That he does let me down. Have you lost your sense of awe for God? Truly, ask yourself that. Is he the King of all kings? Is he my healer? Is he my deliverer? Is he my light?
Or is he just somebody I come and sing about on a Sunday and that's it? Have you lost the awe of God and settling for something? Can I say this in respect? When you lose the awe of God in your life, you're actually settling for something that's not God at all. It's not God at all. It's not God, because God says, I want to bring glory into your life. Every new day, his glory unfolds. He's not a liar. Every new day, his glory unfolds. It says every new day, his mercies are anew. Did you fail him yesterday? There's mercy today. Have you lost your intimacy for Jesus? Has he become just a word? He's not your friend. He's not your lover. He doesn't take first place on your heart. He's not your all in all. He's just part of your church fellowship. I was thinking about this intimacy. Because we're called to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. If we are called every day to walk in the Spirit, well, Jesus every day should be revealed in our lives, because he does reveal Jesus. He points us in the way of Jesus. If you lost that, your intimacy, have you allowed the enemy to rob you of your intimacy with Jesus? The Lord brought me to Song of Songs. And you know, modern day translations of this thing is like they've sexualized it. But that's what the world does, doesn't it? But as I was reading this, I just thought it's a beautiful picture of intimacy with Jesus. And this is what it says: beloved, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among the young men. It says, I delight, do you delight to sit in his shade? And his fruit is sweet to your taste. Is this intimacy? Is this what it looks like, this intimate relationship with Jesus? Is this your life? Is this your poem to your lover? To your heart? Posture before God. I love dwelling under your shade. Your loving arms around me. If you're gone for a second, I miss you. Your tender embrace. It says he has taken me to the banqueting hall, and his banner over me is love. It says, strengthen me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love. I am overwhelmed. Oh, I am overwhelmed by the presence of his love in his life. I am faint from it. Whew. Is this your relationship? Because it's supposed to be your relationship. If Holy Spirit is in me and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, he is going to be revealing Jesus more and more into my life. That is the truth. That is why we have these things. It says his left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. Oh, do you feel the love? Oh, Jesus. His right arm embraces me. And then he says this in verse 7, daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you before the gazelles and the does of the field. Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Don't follow or go chasing love anywhere else in this world until his love is made complete within you. Allow him to direct you to the partner that he has for you. Don't go looking for it in the world. God has a specific person for your life. Amen. To the young ones, that sounds amazing, doesn't it? Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, so we look for love in all the wrong places. We look for love in all the wrong places. We look for love in money. But money wastes away. It doesn't fill you. In sports, doesn't do it for you. Only in Jesus, only in Jesus is his love complete. The word of God says that when my love comes in, fear goes out. Perfect love. Cast out all fear. Isn't this beautiful? Isn't this beautiful? Man, I could just sit there on that and just bask in this for the night. Just thinking about his love for me, because it's his love for me. It's not even my love for him. He reveals his love for me, so I love him back. It's not even anything to do with me. His Holy Spirit is revealing him to me and enables me to love because he's pointing me to Jesus. Pointing me to Jesus. Verse 8 says this, listen, my lover. Look, he comes leaping across the mountains, bounding over hill. My lover is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. Isn't that a beautiful picture of Jesus looking out for us? Literally spying, in a sense, on us, peering through the lattice. I am my beloved. I am my beloved's. And he is mine. This is love. This is love. Not that we loved him, but he forced. This is love. This is real love. This is Jesus. He is the essence of love. It had to be love that made him lay down his life. It had to. It couldn't have been anything else. It wasn't even hell. It wasn't even hell. Okay, I know he saves us not to go there, but of his love for each and every one of us. It says, for the joy set before him. I don't know, maybe I'm a bit proud or something like that, but I believe, this is what I believe, his love for me motivated him to go to the cross. I know that sounds whack and out there, but that is true. It says, for God so loved the world, I'm part of this world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because he's personal. He's my lover. I am my beloved and he is mine. This is true intimacy. This is true intimacy. This is Holy Spirit intimacy. You can't, as I said, like modern Bible scholars say, that's just about sex. If that's all it was about, it's nothing. This is true intimacy. This is the love of Jesus for his people. True intimacy. Locked in the gaze of his love. Locked in the gaze of his love. Constantly upholding me with the wonders of his salvation. Isn't it beautiful to be saved? Isn't it amazing that we can come in here on a Sunday evening and lift up our voices to Jesus? Man, that stuff excites me. I took drugs for years trying to get what I just got there on the floor, and none of the drugs worked. And I done all the drugs. And more. Whatever was going, I was taking. All the drugs. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to get there, folks. We're going to get there. Amen. Because you know what? On this journey. And if God sent me all this way to bring you this message, then I believe that he wants to do something to you. And I don't know about you, but man, I'm storing it up. I want Jesus tonight. Whoa. I want more of him. And maybe I'm lacking in a few of these areas. Do you know what I'm saying? But I want more of him tonight. Because every new day his glory unfolds, and that's just not for you, that's for me. I want this. I want this. I want him. I want him. I want more of him. Less of this ugly sod. More of him in my life. He must become greater. Amen. I want him to become greater in my life. More of him. Power, folks. Holy Spirit. Deep conviction. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Look what a psalmist said. Look what the psalmist says in this verse, Psalm 8, verse 3. It says, when I consider your heavens. Whoa! When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. When I consider all that you have made, Lord, and look in the mirror at this. How one has to say, who am I that you are mindful of me? When I consider the glory of the heavens and the earth and all that you have made, and I look at me, I have to ask that question, who am I that you are mindful of me? Love has to be love. Cannot be anything else. Obviously, God can see things in me that I cannot see. Chosen. Chosen. You probably don't even know Jesus tonight in this place, and I'm here to tell you that you are chosen. There's glory all over your life. There's a future and a plan put in place. Before he done the foundations of the earth, he has a plan and a purpose for you and I. When I consider, like, think about that. The stars, the space, the sky, the glory, and then you have this. Who am I that you are mindful of me when I consider your glory and your greatness? Who am I? Look, here he comes over the mountains, peering through the lattice. Whew. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Can I say something here? You know, no wonder when we mess up. I have to get over this side. I'm sort of feel off course a little bit. You know, when we mess up and we recognize that we're not loving the way we're called to love, that we're not walking in the way that he has ordained us to walk, that we're not filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis and glorifying Jesus in every area of our lives, he calls us back to do what we did at the beginning. Because when we met him, nothing else mattered, did it? Nothing else mattered. It's only me and him, me and Jesus against the world. Nothing else mattered. He was my beloved and I was his. Nothing else mattered. Pain in my life, addiction, I don't care. I have Jesus. I have Jesus. And he calls us back to that first place. It's funny he doesn't call us back to just get back in line and do that great administrating job that you did, or that great preaching job that you did, that great, brilliant teaching gift that was on you. He called you back to him. He says, you have forsaken your first love. You have forsaken love, my love. Most of us, if we're honest, we are like the pre-Revelation John. Yeah? I've been like a pre-Revelation John. Do you know what a pre-Revelation John is? A pre-Revelation John is one of those that takes God and literally makes him a man. He doesn't recognize his glory. I'm his buddy. I'm his buddy. He's my buddy. He's my buddy. I lean on his breast. Me and him are like that. I'm the one that he loves above the rest. And I think we can all go through that in our lives, the pre-Revelation John, that we're taking God down and make him in our image. Not reckon his majesty, his glory, his power, his Holy Spirit. We make him the God of our understanding instead of the God who he truly is. Amen. Anybody ever been a pre-Revelation John? Yeah, he's your brother. But then we see in Revelation, am I talking about the Holy Spirit here? The job, the Holy Spirit's job and what he does best. Not the whack, bam, the boo. It says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit. The Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. I didn't have to come to church to get in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit. I didn't have to listen to the worship rev me up to get into the Spirit. I hadn't got a magic wand waving around waiting for the Spirit to come. I was in the Spirit because the Spirit is in me. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and a golden sash around his chest. Well, I'm not going to lean about his chest. I'm not going to call him Buddy at this stage. It says his hair was white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes was like blazing fire. Whew. This is a God. Now we're going to take a bit of time. I'm not going to say he chose me. Yeah, I'm the lover. I'm the one that he likes more than anybody. This is going to do something different now in my life. It says his feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the rushing of water. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. I bought a new pair of Ray-Ban the last time I was over here, because you can get them cheaper. And I was looking up to the sun the other day, and I says, man, these are not much cop. Because the sun was born in my eyes. And this is the vision of John looking at Jesus. He was no longer a man. He was the risen king. He was the glorified one. He was the Lion of Judah. He was above all. Shh. He was above all. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. When I saw him at his feet, I fell like one that was dead. Can I ask it another question? When was the last time in the presence of God that you fell at his feet as one that was dead? I'm not talking about being happy clappy. I'm talking about entering into the presence of the Holy One, the Anointed One. Surely that should make us fall at his feet as if dead. When was the last time you done that? When was the last time the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to you in such a powerful way that you said, Lord, if you don't move back an inch, I'm going to die. I'm going to die because your holiness is, I can't stand in your presence. I'm going to die. If you don't move away from me, God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. When was the last time that happened to you? That you came undone in his presence. It's like your world and your universe collapsed. Nothing else mattered except him. Jesus, everything king, ever anointed one, a glorified one, ever exalted one. When was the last time that the Holy Spirit brought us into his presence and we fell down like dead on the floor before a holy God? You see, in that presence of a holy God, you are going to be revealed. You are revealed in his presence. Your sin is revealed before him. Your dirtiness is revealed before him. You cannot stand in his presence without becoming undone. You can't. He's the King of glory. His eyes shone like the sun. You can't look him in the face without being blinded by his majesty. Folks, 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 we need to get this right. We need to get this right. He's holy. When we enter into his presence, we're entering into holiness. It's not fun and games. It's glory. The glory of the risen God. The power of his anointing. It says we are changed in his presence. We can never be the same. We can never be the same. Power. Power. Conviction. Holy Spirit. I'm dead. Move away. I'm gonna die. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Amen. I said, I love beginnings in the Lord. And today is a new beginning. Amen. Am I going to enter into the presence of God? And someone's going to enter in on their knees. Someone's going to enter in on their bellies. Someone's going to enter in with weeping. But we're going to enter in, yes? We're going to enter in. Because he calls me. He draws me to his table. His banner over me is love. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. No good thing. Oh, no good thing. Will I withhold from those who love me? Oh, Jesus. When I saw him, I fell down as one that was dead. It says, Dan, do you remember the right hand of glory? Then he placed his right hand upon me and he said, Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, says the Lord. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the first. I am the last, I am the Alpha, and I am the Omega. I am the living one. He's no longer on the cross. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Taking on the very nature of man. He's no longer on the cross. Folks, there's some of you here who really need to get right with God tonight. I mean it. I'm being serious. You really need to get this right. And I mean this. He's no longer in that tomb. The tomb is empty. The cross is empty. He sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. And I alone, says the Lord, hold the keys to death and to Hades. Whew. Holy Spirit wants to draw us into that place. Wants to draw us back to that place where we met him. Oh, to remember meeting with Jesus. Oh, what a beautiful day that was. What a beautiful day. When all my sins was washed away. All my shame was gone. All my darkness. I fell in love with the author of my story. I fell in love with the lover of my soul. I fell in love with the one that raised my head above my enemies. I fell in love with the one that lives forever and ever. Do you remember that day? Have you forsaken him? I actually don't even feel it. I sort of feel I want to ask the worship team up here, but I sort of don't. Because I think maybe the worship team needs to come the way we're coming tonight. Amen. And that's nothing on yous. I'm not talking about fire and brimstone. I'm talking about renewing your love and allowing him to pour out his love back into your life. Amen. If I was to do an altar call here tonight for every one of us in this room, and every one of us didn't come up to the altar, I would say there's something wrong. Because I don't know about you, but Jesus has been taking hold of me tonight.